Okay, Rabosai. We're on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. If you recall, we had looked at the sugya of Harizei Kitech Vanir Shali, and one of the points within that Shaklavataria, the Gemara had suggested that the case was Mi'ure, where the get was all connected. Okay, the reason they did that is so that even if you cut out the white space in between the lines, it would still be one piece. But the Rishonim have a technical issue with what exactly Me'ure means. Me'ure means it's all touching. Sounds like the letters are touching the other letters. You know, like one letter from each word is touching a letter from the word below it or above it. And Tosas, the Ramaskal, Tricha de Me'ure says, excuse me, Mikan medakdek or Yitzchak bar Mordechai the ain tzarich begetcher they call also osmu kafas gevil me'abru b'choseha kida amar hacha de me'ure. The Rivam is bedayik from here, as are many other rishonim, that you don't need mukaf gevil in a get. What does mukaf gevil mean? Those of us who dealt at all with Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos remember that the Gemara says in Menachos, Vafilu Os Achas Ma'akvam, when it comes to Tefillin and Mezuzos, even every letter is Ma'akev. And the Gemara explains that doesn't just mean every letter is Ma'akev, that's obvious. It doesn't just mean the Kotzol Shel Yod is Ma'akev, that's also obvious. Rather, it means that every letter needs to be Mukefes Gvil. Mukef Gvil, Gvil means the white space, the background. You need to have white space around every letter, which means the main nafkamina of that means no letter can touch another letter. Because if a letter touches a different letter, then there is no white space surrounding it because it's touching the other letter. It also means it can't be all the way at the edge of the page where there's no white space surrounding it. But the main case that we have, certainly that we worry about nowadays, is two letters can't be touching. If two letters are touching in, say, for, in Tefillin and Mezuzah, we pass in, say, for Torah as well, then it is puzzle. So how about in a get? If two letters are touching in a get, is it possible or not? If you open up the Shulchan Aruch will say, be careful, make sure two letters don't touch in a get. Is that a true halacha or not? So the Rivam is bedayik from our Gemara that letters are allowed to be touching because that is what Me'ura means. Me'ura means they're touching. But the Re says, the Ein Mikan Raya, the Hadak Amar, the Me'ura, Hayin Yoregel Chav, Shal Shita Yona, Betesh, Shal Shita Dachtel, Rosh Lamed, Behei, Oches, Shalamala, Heimena, that there's two ways of understanding Me'ura. One way of Me'ura, let me just draw it for you, is if here we have, I'm not drawing an Ashuris, so it's not going to work so well. Berishon B'Shabbos. And underneath we have, the city where they live. They live in Yerushalayim. That two of the words are touching. This is what the Rivam says, as well as the Ramban and many others. However, the Re says it's not a good proof. Who says this proves that Mukukvil is no problem? Maybe what it really means is this. This is going to be a little trickier, but because obviously it's really written in Ksav Ashuris, which we'll get to in a moment. But what it really means is this. The girl's name is Rachel. You see the lamed is going into the airspace of the resh. So if we tried to cut out the space between the lines, we would still have to leave the lines attached, right? We'd cut out the space between the lines. We'd cut out a little here. We'd cut out a little here, but we have to leave it attached there. And therefore, it's no proof that you don't need Mukaf Gvil. Okay, this is the Re, the Sefer HaTruma, the Or Zarua, and others. Okay, so maybe our Gemara is a proof, maybe it's not a proof. The most interesting thing for us is not whether our Gemara is a proof or whether it's not a proof, because as the Re says, even if our Gemara doesn't prove anything, because you could interpret our Gemara the Re's way, the Re says, Mikol Malkum Niraluidein Tzarech Rai L'Hachshir. The Re says, Tak, our Gemara is not a proof, but it's mutter anyway. You don't need Mukav Tvil anyway, because just we svara it's mutter. So the Maisa, we care a little less about whether our Gemara is a proof. As the Rish says, we care more about what the halacha is. Forget about our Gemara being a proof. Logically, what should be the halacha? And here we have two shitas, although those two shitas can be divided into more than one svara. One shita is what we saw in the Sefer HaTruma. The Sefer HaTruma, it's in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. If you look up the Sefer HaTruma of Bar Baruch Migarmaiza, the Talmud of the Ri, it was also quoted in the Mordechai Siman Shintes Zayin, which is in brackets, and the Orzarua, which is on the sheet, which is very, very long. He quotes the Tikkun, the Seder Haget of, he starts with the Seder Haget of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't address this explicitly, but he says very clearly, that kol os she'ein dot vilma kifosa ein akriya osupsula. So who are the machmirim here? The machmirim are, I mean, there are other Rishoni Ashkenaz, but the main machmirim are the Sefer HaTruma and the Or Zarua, who say puzzle. Meaning it's puzzle if it's not Mukaf Gvil, you need Mukaf Gvil. The Tosfos says a little differently. The Re says here, the Davka B'Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs Be'ina Shiyu Osius Mukaf Gvil. The Re is quoted in our Tosfos, the same Re is quoted the same way in the Mordechai Siman Shin Mem Hei. Even though there he says it's always better to have Mukaf Gvil just to make sure that it's nice and readable. But Me'ekra Din, it's no problem. Why? Says the Re, that why do you need Mukaf Gvil by Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs? Because we have a drasha. The drasha is uchsavtem, and we darshan that as ksiva tama, perfect siva. So he says ksiva tama requires Mukaf Gvil. That's part of being a perfect siva. But ksiva doesn't require mukaf gvil. It's ksiva without mukaf gvil. It's only ksiva tam that needs mukaf gvil. And here we don't need ksiva tama. And don't say he adds that because it's called a sefer, it needs ksiva tama. Because whatever is called a sefer needs ksiva tama. Because gets not called a sefer. Because we know, we mentioned a few times, even though we're almost up to it in the Gemara, that sefer, it means sefiras devarim and not a hefesh shel sefer. So here is the shita of the Re. Says the Re, it's kosher because you don't need ksiva tama in a get. The Ramban here actually says it a little differently. If you look at the Ramban here, someone tell me, we need to get used to participation here. Does the Ramban say the reason it's okay in getting without Mukaf Gvil is because you don't need ksiva tama, or does he give a different reason? The Ramban says the same thing. I don't think everyone was on the Makor sheet, but the Ritva here says the same thing. The Rashba says the same thing in a Shut. The Meiri, but the Ritva and the Meiri and the Ramban all say the same thing here. They say it's kosher. Why? Why is it kosher if it's not Mukaf Gvil according to the Ramban? Anyone? Exactly. Says the Ramban, because get is kosher b'chol lashon. How do we know get is kosher b'chol lashon? Well, number one, it never says it has to be in Hebrew. Number two, this was quoted in the Gemara earlier. There's a Mishnah on Daf Pei. The Mishnah is on, in 1 second, towards the end of the Masechet. Oh, it was quoted in the Gemara earlier. If we have one daf ago, they quoted the mission for Zion with days, get she kasavo ivrit ve'idav yivanit ve'idav ivrit kasher. Whether you're writing in Hebrew and the Edom sign Greek, or you're writing in Greek and the Edom sign in Hebrew, it's kasher. So you see again, it's kasher b'chol lashon. So if a get is kosher b'chol lashon, then even if Mukaf Gvil is not proper Hebrew, or he emphasizes not just the language, but the font, right? Gufan is still the word for font in modern Hebrew. It's get is kosher in any script. What are the requirements? So the Orzaruah quoted the Rambam. He said funny things interpreting the Rambam, but he quoted the Lashon of the Rambam. That what's the requirement? You have to write in a way that it won't be totally crooked and confusing, and it won't look like a different word. Okay, it has to be clear what word is. Obviously, you can't write it in Mishkababel so that you don't know whether it says I'm divorcing you or I'm selling you my cow. But if all the words are clear, if it's clear what the words are saying, meaning a standard case of Mukakvil, so okay, the Aleph is touching the Resh a little, but everyone knows what letter it is, right? We're not talking about you made it totally Balagan. So therefore, it's Kasher B'chol Lashon, because a get is Kasher B'chol Lashon. Okay, so even though it's not Ksav Ashuris, it's not a proper Hebrew script, but it doesn't matter, because so it's a script that people recognize. As long as it's a communication that people recognize, that is good enough. Okay, those are the three shitas. Obviously, it's two shitas. The Ri and the Ramban say the same thing. They just say it for two different reasons. Now, let's just take a second to ask how the Sefer Truma and the Orzaruah respond to the tainas of the Ri and the Ramban. So, how is the Orzaruah? What is the Orzaruah going to say back to the Ri? The Ri says, "Who cares if it's not Mukavvil? Who cares if you have a proof? You don't have a proof." The Orzaruah obviously said, "You don't have a proof." The Ri said, "I also know you don't have a proof, but it's obvious nonetheless that you don't need Mukavvil because you don't need Sivatama." What's the Orzaruah going to say back? I don't mean what is he going to say back. What does he say back? What's the money phrase in the Orzaruah? Anyone? He says back, and the Sefer Truma says the same thing, and the quote of Mordechai is not as clear. He says, "Kol os she'ena k'suvik sivagasav ein vil makivosa ena kruya os." A letter that doesn't have mukav vil is not called a letter. Meaning, it's not only a din k'siva tama; it's a din in the etzem haksiva, in the etzem ha'ot. So, what the Sefer Truma is going to say back to the Ri is, "You think it's only a cute detail of k'siva tama." Yeah, it's one of these cute details of k'siva tama that you need to have it all fancy schmancy and all, you know, according to fancy regulations. No, this is not a din of k'siva tama. This is a basic din of k'siva. To be k'siva, you have to write otiot. And it's not the ot if it's touching another ot that changes it into another ot. If an aleph is touching a resh, it's not an aleph anymore. It is now a aleph resh kind of hieroglyphic. So what's the Sefer Truma going to say back to the Ri? He's going to say, Mukavvil is a din in Surat Ha'ot, as the modern day Surat Ha'ot, not Sivatama. What does he mean by that? I know that the Gemara Menachos associates it with Sivatama. But he's going to say, you misunderstood the drush of Sivatama. You thought Sivatama meant that, you know, it had to be extra fancy. No, Sivatama just means you should write all the letters. Afilu os achas ma'akvan. He's even going to be Meduika Menachos. The Mishnah Menachos says every letter is ma'akev. That means it needs to be mukav gvil. The Israel say, yeah, every letter is ma'akev because it's mukav gvil. You haven't written the letter. You've written a different letter that you just invented from scratch. So he would say it's not just an additional chomer of Sivatama. It is the Tzuret Ha'ot. What's he going to say back to the Ramban, though? After all, the Ramban says, fine, so it's not the Tzuret Ha'ot. What did the Ramban say? Fine, Enochanami, you're right. So it's not the Tzuret Ha'ot. It is not a proper letter in the font, the language Hebrew in the font of Ktav Ashurit. But you still know what it means, right? The Lashon of the Rambam, I'll read you the Lashon of the Rambam, I'm quoting the Ozer Ruah, he says, until even kids can read it, etc. And it shouldn't be so crooked that it looks like a different letters and the meaning changes. The Rambam would say the meaning didn't change. Who cares? It's Kashim Kalashim. So what is the Sefer Truma going to say back to the Ramban? After all, even if it's not Hebrew, fine, it's not Hebrew. It's a new script I made up. It's a new Tzuret Ha'ot. But it should be no worse than writing it in Spanish or in Chinese. So what is the Ramban going to... what is the Orzaruah going to say back to the Ramban? So here, I'm not... I mean, there are different things... Yes.
Well, the Orza Ruag requires the whole writing to be in Ktav Ashuri, Ktiva Gasa.
Aha, exactly. So
even from the outset, it's not a regular machlokas where they're arguing on one point. There's the divergence between the Orza Ruag and the Ramban is enormous.
Exactly, precisely. Exactly. You know what? Let me just try to put this all on the board in a slightly more masudr fashion. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that what is the nekudas? What is the nekudas machlokes between one and two, between the orazor and the root and the re is beinyan mukafkvil? How is that the nekudas machlokes? The re the orazorua says it's a din in Suras Ha'os. It's not the letter if it's touching another letter. It's just not that letter. And the Re says, nah, that's not an inyan of Suras Ha'os. It's just a chumra of Siva Tama. The Orzur says the din of Suras Ha'os, and therefore it's a din of Siva. After all, if you don't write the letter, you haven't even done a ksiva. Nari says a chumra of ksiva tama. But what is the nekudas hamachlokes between the Orza Rua and the Ramban? What you could have said, although this gets a little tricky, you could have said they're also arguing about Mukaf Gvil. Whether Mukaf Gvil runes Hebrew or Mukaf Gvil is it in any language. Maybe you could have said, I don't love this. You could have said that they argue about Mukaf Tvil. The Ramban thinks Mukaf Tvil is only a din in Ksav Ashuris. And the Orzavura thinks Mukaf Tvil is a din in any language. Even in Chinese needs Mukaf Tvil. But I find that a little hard to imagine, especially since there are script languages that are Davka not supposed to have Mukaf Tvil, right? When you write English in script, you're Davka not supposed to have Mukaf Tvil. When you write Arabic, I mean, at least, you know, when you write it out, it's not supposed to have Mukaf Tvil in Arabic script. So, Lemais, I think it's more likely exactly what Chaim points out. The Orzorua is Lishitase, because in the same piece in the Orzorua, I'm not putting together two different Orzoruas, at least not yet. In the same piece in the Orzorua, he says two things. He says it needs Mukaf Tvil or else the get is puzzle. And he says it needs to be Ksiva Gasa. Ksiva Gasa means block print, not our Hebrew script print. Why does it need to be in Ksiva Gasa and block print, not what he calls Ksiva Daka, Shekorn Mastit? You know, the Achronim argue a lot. I don't want to get into this about exactly what kind of, you know, non-block print writing all the Rishonim were talking about and what their words meant, etc. There's a lot of confusion about this. I haven't checked the historians, but it doesn't really matter. What's the point? The point is that the Orzorua says, not just in Mukakvil, he says, Taki, you do need Ksav Ashuris. If you would write in Hebrew script, it would be no good. Why? Because in Hebrew script, if you see next to the red number two where I wrote the Re, the Yud in the Re, what's it missing? Chaim? When I wrote the Re, the Yud doesn't have a Kotzol Shel Yud. It's just a little line, right?
Yeah.
And the Gemara Menacho says, Kotzol Shel Yud is Ma'aki. So what does he see? Yes. We see from here that script Hebrew is no good for a get because it doesn't have Kotzol Shel Yud. Of course, he hasn't really proven anything. Who says you need Kotzol Shel Yud? He's obviously starting with an assumption and then developing an assumption. The assumption of the Orza Ruah is, and that's what he says, the Kotzol Shel Yud is ma'akev, uvekseva daka mashakur and mastit eino osa kain, the no Kotzol Shel Yud, helkach pasol. What's the point? The point is that he thinks you taka do need Ksav Ashuris. Okay, then it makes perfect sense. If the Orza Ruah thinks you do need Ksav Ashuris, the Sefer Truma is not 100% clear, but Mestama also holds you need Ksav Ashuris. Because after all, in the Mordechai, we even, Simon Shinta Zayin, there are even some Rishonim who hold, like Rav Baruch Agensa and the Reben Avraham, that you need tagging. You need tagin, right? The Shatnez, Shinayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadi, you need to write tagin in the get. obviously, what are you talking? And obviously, they hold unique Ksav Ashuris. So there obviously was a school of Rishonei Ashkenaz who hold unique Ksav Ashuris, and that's l'chora the Nekudas HaMachlokes between the Sefer HaTruma and the Orzarua and the Ramban. L'chora, it's not about Mukav Kvil. I said you could say it, but l'chora not. L'chora B'inyan Ksiva. The Ramban says you can write Bechol Lashon. And the Orzarua says, nope, Davka Ashuris. He doesn't say the words Davka Ashuris, but he says you need Kutzah Shol Yod. So obviously what he means is you need Ksav Ashuris. Okay, so that is the Nekudas HaMachlokes. Here, of course, and that's why Agav, right, I noticed in the Mishkan of Yaakov, if anyone got a chance to look it up, he said, the Rama writes in Eben Ezer, you should only write again in Hebrew. And all the Achronim were tama on him. They said, what do you mean only write again in Hebrew? It's a Mefarish Mishnah, Daf Pei Zayinim and Beis, which we know because it was quoted in Yotesim and Beis in the Gemara, that you can write again Bechol Lashon. So the Mishkan of Yaakov says, no, we see from the Sefer Truan or Zerua that there's a real makor for this. There really is a shita that a get has to be written Davka B'Ksav Ashuris. Of course, that just opens the question of, if you'll excuse my French, what the heck is the Orzarua talking about? It's a Mefurish Mishnah that you can write a get in any language. So how can he say you need Davka Ksav Ashuris? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Meaning it's nice that the Kudus Machlokes, but if this is the Kudus Machlokes, the Ramban is right and the Orzarua is wrong, and Shalom Al Yisrael, and that can't be. The Orzarua obviously knew. You know, you want to tell me the Orzarua didn't know Trumas Hadeshen, that's fine. The Trumas Hadeshen wasn't born yet. But the Orzarua knew a Mishnah, and it's quoted all over Maseches Gittin. So how do we defend the Orzarua? So,
do the two go together? Does Hakofas Gvil for the Orzarua automatically mean Ksav Ashuris, and for the Ramban, that there is no Hakofas Gvil, so therefore it's B'chol Lashon? Are they connected?
That is exactly what I'm claiming. And why am I claiming that? Not because I want to be Mechadish. That because in the Orzarua, he puts them together. Let me read you the first line of the Orzarua. Kasav Rabbeinu Tam Zatzal, etc. Ad Kam Lashono. The Avol Pishukasav Nagu, even though there Rabbeinu Tam wrote it's Nagu to write block print, Minag Torahi. It's a Minag, that's a Doraisa. Why? Let me read you the beginning of the Orzarua. Shekal Os She'ena Ksuva B'Ksiva Gasa V'Ein Vil Makif Osa Eina Kruya Osu P'sula. Anything that's not written in black print and that doesn't have Mukav Kvil is not a letter. It doesn't have a Tzuris Osu P'sula. The Orzarua himself is putting them together. So it's not my finish. Yes, the Orzarua is now. We just have to. Let me take this board.
And the Ramban opposes those two together also as a package.
Yes, exactly. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but give me 2 minutes. 2 minutes, of course, meaning five, and 5 minutes, whatever. And then I want to come back to your point, because I think it's an important point. But first, let me just finish up.
The Orzarua actually brings it as a limud from a pasuk toward about two-thirds of the way down. He says, Oksiva, Ksuba, Robain, Oksiva.
Exactly.
He understands the law as being a din of Ksiva like Sefer Torah.
Exactly. That's what I meant. I put on the board, it's a bit in Ksiva. They're arguing what the getter of Ksiva is. The Orzarua thinks it's only Ksiva if you write in Ksav Ashuris. And the Ramban thinks that, although I'm going to come back to it in a moment, the Ramban thinks excuse me, that it's Ksiva no matter what Lashon you use. Now, let me, someone has some background noise. I don't know who. Okay. Now, let me just answer the Ramban's Kasha in the Orzarua, because the Orzarua seems to be against a Mishnah. You know what? You don't need me to answer the Ramban's Kasha in the Orzarua. I want you to answer the Ramban's Kasha in the Orzarua. What does the Orzarua do with the Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis? The truth is that some of the Rishonim and some of the Echronim add many, many other Kashas against the Orzarua. But let's start with this one. What do... What does the Ramban do with the Kasha from Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis? So, how do you write? 1 second. Says, not the Ramban, but the Orzarua. Says the Orzarua, he says, Davka Ashuris. However, says the Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, says even Yevanis. So how do you answer up that stira, anyone?
If you're writing in Hebrew, you need Ashurit. If you're writing in Yevanis, you can write in Greek letters.
Okay. So Yehuda took this idea from the, well, either he thought of it himself, I don't know. I haven't been following him around, but he either thought of himself or took this idea from the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham. It could be that you can write in any language. One answer, and this is, the Beis Yosef is not trying to answer the Or Zeruah. He's just talking theoretically. One answer is that you can write in any language. However, if you're writing in a language, you have to write properly. You can write in any language you want, but Greek has to be proper Greek, and Hebrew has to be proper Hebrew, and Icelandic has to be proper Icelandic. You can't write in a pidgin. You can't just make up your own script. You have to write in the proper script of that language. And then that's no steer to the Or Zeruah. So one answer, again, don't get me wrong. The Beis Yosef is not trying to answer the Or Zeruah. Beis Yosef is just saying theoretically. He quoted someone as saying, well, if it's close to Ksav Ashuris, that's okay. And if it's, whenever I try to fix it, it gets worse. If it's close to Ksav Ashuris, that's okay. And if it's very far from Ksav Ashuris, that's no good. And he said the opposite. So one answer is based on the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham. I mean, the Magen Avraham is just quoting Beis Yosef. He's not really another Shita. I'll tell you in a moment why we quoted him. That, what does he say? He says, in Hebrew, need proper Hebrew. In Greek, you need proper Greek. He would passel improper Greek as well, perhaps. Although, you know, l'chora.
I wouldn't experiment.
Here I'm making this up. He doesn't say this, etc. But it could very well be. He'd say you could write in any language, but it needs to be correct in that language, Isaac.
That wouldn't explain the Ramah, right?
No, that wouldn't at all. But I opened the floor, and Yehuda said this first. So I quoted the Mishnah Yaakov. He wasn't quoted the Mishnah Yaakov. Correct. Now, the truth is, it actually, even though the Magen Avraham is quoting the Beis Yosef, Rav Lechstein pointed out, the Magen Avraham sounds subtly different than the Beis Yosef. The Magen Avraham sounds like in Hebrew it needs proper Hebrew, which is Ashuris. In Greek, you write Greek. In Finnish, you write Finnish. In Japanese, you write Japanese. But in Hebrew, it needs Ashuris. The Beis Yosef might have sounded like, even within Hebrew, if it's an Ashuris style font, you need proper Ashuris. If it's a totally different font, that might be okay. So in other words, the Beis Yosef might allow even for Hebrew type A, Hebrew type B, Hebrew type C, but within each type, you need the proper Hebrew of that type. So I'll just write or in block Hebrew, you need proper block Hebrew, right? So one thing is unclear. In the Beis Yosef, it sounds a little like, it could be if there are two totally different Hebrew fonts, that might be good enough. You just can't use a Hebrew font that's like Ashuris, but improper. Okay, but that's one answer, which is that it can be written b'chol lashon, but whatever lashon you pick, it has to be written properly or else it's not proper ksiva. The second option is...
Couldn't you argue on that, you know, with the din of kriyashma? If you say kriyashma in Hebrew, you don't have to understand it. If you say it in another language, you do have to understand what you're saying. Isn't that somewhat comparable to this?
Meaning the shita of the... the sheet of the Ravid that if you don't have to understand. I was thinking more of the Ravid. In Hebrew, you have to be medakdek. In other languages, you don't have to be medakdek. The problem is that's only lachachila here. It's b'dievet. So I was thinking about that. I'm not sure. I have to think about that. Let me tell you what the Mishnah Yaakov says. That's what Morty wants to say, that maybe in Greek you don't need proper Greek because other languages don't really have formal chashivas. Only Hebrew does. Right? That's what you're saying, Morty?
Sorry, I didn't unmute. Okay, yes. There's clearly a difference between Hebrew, the formality of Hebrew and the formality
correct.
Of other languages.
So he was suggesting, based on the Ravid we mentioned once from Hilchas Kriyashma, if you remember in what context we mentioned this Ravid in Hilchas Kriyashma, you might also think of something else now. But based on the Ravid in Hilchas Kriyashma, maybe Hebrew has a formal tzura and other languages don't have formal tzura, so maybe Hebrew needs proper Hebrew and Greek doesn't. So we'll write maybe and Ayin Ravid Hilchos Kriyashma. Here was that Raven in Hilchos Kriyashma. If you actually want to look it up, I think last time I also quoted the Raven Hilchos Kriyashma and didn't tell you where it was. It was in Perik Beis Halacha. Perik Beis Halacha Yud. Okay. So if you ever want to look at the Raven, Perik Beis Halacha Yud, Morty does have a point. Okay, now, what does the Mishkanos Yaakov say? Says the Mishkanos Yaakov, he says a big chiddush. But those of us who learned the first parak of Megillah might remember Shita parallel to this. He says, you can write in any language, but whatever language you write it in has to be Ksav Ashuris. You can write it in Greek if you want, but you have to write it in Greek in Ksav Ashuris, right? Meaning we call that nowadays transliteration, right? You can write it in Greek, you can write it in Japanese, you can write it in any language you want, as long as it's transliterated and written in Ksav Ashuris in proper Hebrew letters, because Ksiva requires Ksav Ashuris, or he says Sefer requires Ksav Ashuris. So give me a second here. He says that the only...
Yeah.
The only kosher font is Ashuris. One second, Joel. The only kosher font is Ashuris, and kosher v'chol lashon rak. If you transliterate it and you write it in Ksav Ashuris. Joel Rich, you raise your hand? Yes, you did.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Is there an official transliteration? Because, you know, you could transliterate differently.
Oh, that's a very good point. I'm going to assume there's no official transliteration. You just have to be able to read it. Okay. Now, has anyone thought of a third possible answer? Did anyone remember all the way back to Daf Zayin? All the way back,
This is very nice. The Urzara.
What?
So this is not a third thing.
So. What did the Urzara say? Isaac.
I don't exactly know how it answers the Mishan Pezayin. He said that Aktiva not in Lashon HaKodesh is not Aktiva.
Exactly. Remember, that's how he explained why you kosvin alav ono afilu b'Shabbos, because he says only shvos b'shvos b'makom mitzvah. It was dafchesa b'beis, I meant, because ksiva in Laz is not really called ksiva. But he said something else that I'm pretty sure we mentioned Shira at the time. That was a little detail that might have escaped us, if I recall correctly. I would go through my Mar Makomos and find the Ozarua. He said ksiva is not called ksiva unless it's in Hebrew. Did he say or something? Or Greek, right? Interestingly, who says get is kosher b'chol lashon? Everyone in the world assumes get is kosher b'chol lashon. But who says get is kosher b'chol lashon? Maybe get is kosher al yedei ksiva, and it's only called ksiva if you write Hebrew or Greek. And the Mishnah never said it's kosher b'chol lashon, only said it's kosher in Greek. Why would Greek and Hebrew be the only lashonos of ksiva? Hebrew because it's the lashon of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Greek because Yaftalukim liyefes, Yaftalukim liyefes v'yishkon ba'olei shem, and therefore that makes it Greek. One second. Sorry, I am just going to mute everybody. In case you're making background noise when you want to talk, please unmute yourself. Okay. When you want to talk, please unmute yourself. Now, maybe it's the Or Zeruah Lishitase, right? Not so crazy. The Or Zeruah Lishitase says Ksiva is a very limited thing. Ksiva is a very limited thing. It's only Ashuris. Only Ashuris or Yevanis. Because Yaftalukim Liyefes Vyishkan Bialashane, the language of the Torah, or Yaftalukim Liyefes Vyishkan Bialashane. By the way, if you know you don't have background noise, you can unmute yourself the whole time. Please feel free. And then it is no problem. Maybe it has to be proper formal Hebrew or Yevanis. So if we want to know, can it get be written in every language? You can't actually say a get has to be written in Hebrew, but there are, to defend the Or Zeruah, there are three possibilities. The last possibility is it can be only written in Hebrew or Greek. The middle possibility is it can be written in any language, but only in Hebrew letters. And the first possibility is that it can be written tak in any language, unlike our Chumra in Shulchan Aruch, but within every language, it has to be written properly. Agav, I'll just end with two things, with one point, which is, why does the Or Zeruah hold that it has to be written dafka in Hebrew? Is not 100% clear why he holds it has to be written dafka in Hebrew. The Mishkanos Yaakov claims the opposite of Tosos here. He says, you think Sefer means Sfiras Devarim? No, Sefer also means Sfiras Devarim, but Sefer also means Sefer. Not Sefer to the extent that it has to be a cloth. Not Sefer even to the extent that it has to be a movable object that is not alive and that is not edible. It can even be a food item. It can even be a live animal. But Sefer means that it has to have a formal Tzures Ksiva. So the Mishnah Yaakov thinks that because of Sefer, the Or Zeruah requires Hebrew. The Magen Avraham obviously assumes differently, and the Or Zeruah himself assumes differently, as Isaac pointed out. To the Magen Avraham says the Shem Shita would apply in Hilchos Shabbos, that you'd be putter. It'd still be Asur Rabbanan. Don't go do it. But it would be Asur Rabbanan. That would be putter midaraisa on Shabbos if you wrote in a foreign language. So again, you could take this Or Zeruah and say it's all because it's all a Sefer against Tosos, or you could take the Or Zeruah and say it's just the definition of the word Ksiva. Nafkamina as to whether the Or Zeruah is because of Sefer, because of Ksiva, is whether you get a Kula in Hilchos Shabbos. If the Or Zeruah is because of Sefer, it's still Asur daraisa on Shabbos to write English. But if the Or Zeruah is because of Ksiva, then it's only Asur d'Rabbanan to write English on Shabbos, which we recall from Nafches is the Shita of the Or Zeruah himself.
So the Or Zeruah himself. Doesn't he say explicitly that it's Ksiva?
And as Abe pointed out, this is the second time he had to tell me this in the same shir, that he says explicitly it's not called Ksiva. So then it all really fits together very, very obviously. So you could take this Or Zeruah in two ways. Again, whatever possibility it is, could be Midin Sefer, which is the Mishkanos Yaakov, or Kibidin Bibidin Ksiva, which is the Or Zeruah himself. The Or Zeruah himself thinks Bidin Ksiva, that's the Magen Avraham. It applies even on Shabbos. What's a Chumran Gittin becomes a Kula on Shabbos. Again, not that you can do it, but that it's only Durabanan. And the Mishkanos Yaakov assumes it's Bidin Sefer against Tosos, and it has nothing, it would have no effect on Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, if there's no other questions, we're going to go on in the Gemara. Joel, I don't know if your hand is still up from before or this is a new hand. Remember, you only have two hands, so use them wisely.
No, I don't know. Let me see if I can take it down. I don't want to do it.
Okay, Beseder. There it is. You just lowered your hand. Great. Okay. So then we will go on in the Gemara. Says the Gemara on Daf. Cuff on the bays. Says the Gemara. A boy running bar chama, how you muzakim be eved shu shalo, we get kasav al yada, or yotze mitachas yada. Everyone knew this eved belonged to the husband, and there's a get written on the eved, and now the eved is in the hands of the wife. Normally, and the pashup shot in the Gemara, according to every, pashup shot in the Gemara, maybe we will, maybe we won't have time to point out the Imre Moshe disagrees, is that there are edi chasima on this get. Normally, if a woman is holding on to a get, then we assume as a vadai
that it was handed to her by her husband and she is divorced. We don't say maybe she stole the gift from her husband and there was no nesina. Maybe he lost it in the park and she picked it up, there was no nesina, etc. We assume that if she's holding the eth, then her husband gave it to her and she's divorced. But what about if it's an eved? The husband is, it's the husband's eved. Everyone knows who an eved belongs to. And now the wife's holding it and there's a get written on it. So what's the suffix? Do we say we assume the husband gave her the eved? Or do we say no, since the eved, unlike a piece of paper, walks on his own two legs, maybe the eved just wandered on his own into the wife's house and maybe the husband didn't give it to her. Meaning the tfis of an eved might not be very significant because the eved could have walked on his own. So the Gemara asks the side problem. Isn't there a bigger problem that it is, if you write on skin, then it is erasable. If everyone knows if I write with pen on a piece of paper, you can't erase it and change what's written there. But if I write with pen on my skin, you can scrub it off and change what's written there. So it shouldn't be possible because of ksav sheyachol is daif. Well, the Rav Akasha mashnisa al yad shel eved. Why is Rav Akasha on poor Rami Bar Chama? He's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says yad shel eved is okay. No, bishlam and mishnisa in the Rav Alokasha be'idim esir Rav Yelazari. El Rami Bar Chama Kasha. No, the Mishnah, he would have just said, Taka is Sava Yachal Adayef. But it's Rabbi Lazar says you don't need Eidah Hasima, and they were Eidah Hasima. And they were Eidah Masira. The Eidah Masira saw it handed over. Then you're allowed to have erasable ink. But Rabbi Bar Chama's case, obviously she's not bringing Eidah Masira into court. If she brought Eidah Masira into court, then we would know that the husband gave her the Eved. The Eidah Masira would tell us. So obviously there's no Eidah Masira. If there's no Eidah Masira, we're relying on the Eidah Hasima. How can we rely on the Eidah Hasima when it's erasable ink? The Eidah Hasima could have signed some other document, and then she erased it and wrote in her get. So the answer is the Rami Bar Chama Nami Lokasha B'Ksovas Kaka Hashdas Lahakin Asisam Nami Lokasha B'Ksovas Kaka. No, Rami Bar Chama's Ibai is still okay. It was tattooed on the get. It wasn't just written with ink on the get, it was tattooed on the Eved. And now you don't have to, but you could also say the case of the Mishnah is where it was tattooed on the Eved. Okay, here we get into an interesting side discussion, which we're not going into in the Rishonim. Which isn't an Osir Midoraisa the tattoo? No. Sovas Kaka, it's an Isir Doraisa. How can you say it was Sovas Kaka, it's an Isir Doraisa? So, Tosos points out here, he gives two answers. Those are the two mainstream answers. His second answer is that it is an Isir Doraisa, but it's still a kosher get. Right, if I write a get on Shabbos, that's an Isur D'oraisa, it's a more chamer Isur D'oraisa, but it's still a kosher get. Tos says the get in Isuri Hanah, most Rishonim say, it's still usher to use the get. I'm saving money by using this Isur and not for get. So just because you do an Isur doesn't make the get puzzle. Okay, that's the simplest answer. Tos also suggests it might be a case where it's not an Isur D'oraisa, because if you... it's a little unclear what the words mean, but or what he means is if the way you tattoo in the old days, I don't know how they tattoo nowadays. They tattoo nowadays with like needles that poke it under the skin. Yeah. And the way the Rishonim describe how they tattooed in the old days, they weren't quite so sophisticated. Tattoo, by the way, the ink has to get under the skin. That's what makes it a tattoo. If the ink is on the surface of the skin, then it's not a tattoo. Then it is Yachal is Dayif, right? So how do you make a tattoo? So nowadays they have special needles that put the ink under the skin. And that's why it lasts forever. In the days of Chazal and Rishonim, they didn't seem to have that. What they would do is they would take a knife and make a cut in your skin and put the ink in the cut. And then the cut would close over the ink. And then they would get the ink under your skin. I mean, you get the same result. So they point out it's only a D'oraisa if you cut and you put the ink in. So if you would just cut, let's say when there was ink already, or just put ink when there was a cut already, then it wouldn't be an Isur D'oraisa, and maybe that's the case, although Tos said it would still be Drabanan. So in any case, either Taka was an Isur D'oraisa, and who cares, that's not relevant to Hilfus Gittin, or say maybe it was done not with an Isur D'oraisa, although it would still be an Isur Drabanan L'chora. The Me'iri here has a Shitas Yachid, which is very fascinating, which we're not going to go into now, I couldn't resist the Itzahar of mentioning it. The Me'iri has a Shitas Yachid, he says, maybe the Isur of Ksovas Kaka only applies to a Ben Chorin and not to an Eved. Maybe an Eved is allowed to have a Ksovas Kaka, which is a very big Chiddush, because as we know, when it comes to Mitzvot Lo Sasa, an Eved is Chayav on all Mitzvot Lo Sasa, the same as a Yisrael. So why would the Me'iri say an Eved is... Basically, the Me'iri is trying to save us from an Isur D'oraisa and from an Isur D'rabbanan. Why would the Meir say an Eved is allowed to have Ksobas Kaka? He doesn't really say. But we know there are some Isurim Darais that don't apply to Avadim, such as, for example, the Isurim of Znus, of sleeping around outside of wedlock with a Shifcha, etc. I don't mean adultery, etc. That's Usur. But Znus, why? Because an Eved is lacking something called Kedushas Yisrael, right? Apparently, there's some Kedushas Yisrael which gives you a certain status, which requires something called Kedusha, which means you can't sleep with a shifcha or a mamzeres, et cetera, or a mamzer, et cetera. And Eved is lacking some ineluctable quality nicknamed Kedushas Yisrael, and that permits him to do certain lavim, which apparently are not lavim that are objectively evil things to do. What's the point? Some lavim are objectively wrong things to do. Some lavim are only not befitting a certain stature of Kedusha, not befitting a certain madrega. And Eved doesn't have that madrega. He's allowed to do certain lavim. What comes out from here, fascinatingly enough, is that the Meiri's Das Yachid, obviously all the other Rishonim disagree, or they would have given this answer. The Meiri's Das Yachid says, Ksoves Kaka is a function of the special madrega of Kedusha Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael are in a certain madrega that they cannot sort of deface themselves or take themselves down by putting something on their skin, and an Eved is not subject to that stricture. Okay, so that's an interesting tidbit. Everyone else assumes there is an Isser of Ksobas Kaka, either Daraisa if you do it the normal way, Durabanan if you do it sort of halfway, and Taka they did an Isser. The Meiri has a Das Yachid that Ksovas Kakazid in Kedusha Yisrael, Jews are in a certain madrig of Kedusha that they cannot deface themselves, but Avadim are not on that madrig of Kedusha Guf. Their Guf is not Kadosh. They are allowed to deface themselves, or someone is allowed to write a get on them. But in any case, let's get back to the Gittin parts of the Gemara.
So, if it's Doraisa, Kol Devar She'Ovar Lo Kayam.
If it's Doraisa, don't we have a principle of Kol Milsa Da'amar Achmana Lo Ta'avid E'Avid E'avid Lomahani, that's Machlokas Abayin Rav and Tmura that we learned together. Most of us here, and we paskin lechora that kol milsad amrachmana lo tavid e'avid lomahani. So why don't you say it's not effective? So the simple pshat is, Rabbi Akiva Eger points this out in many, many places in Shulchan Aruch, that when we say kol milsad amrachmana lo tavid e'avid lomahani, we mean that if the iser is in the totsa'ah, if the Isser is in the result, meaning if the Isser is in the result, Hashem didn't want us to accomplish a certain result, then if you try to do that result, the result doesn't count. But in the case of Ksovas, meaning if the Isser would be, you're not allowed to have a get that's tattooed, then it would be a puzzle get. The Torah said not to do that. But over here, the Isser is not in the result of a get that's tattooed. The Isser is in the process. The Torah didn't want us to tattoo anything. That's like writing a get on Shabbos. If you write a get on Shabbos, it's still valid. Why? Because writing on Shabbos is usher whether or not it's a get. The fact that it's a get is coincidental to the Chil Shabbos. Therefore, since the fact that it's a get is coincidental to the Chil Shabbos, the fact that it's Chil Shabbos doesn't take away the Chalos get. Only when the Chalos is part of the Isser. Like, for example, if the Torah told you, I mean, there aren't such great nafkaminas, because by the time the Gemara Torah finishes, there are no nafkaminas. But I'm saying theoretically, not Lamaisa. If the Torah told you not to be mafresh Meiser before Truma, then you would say, if not for Drush Sapsukim, you would say, okay, if you're Mafresh Meiser, it's not Chal, because the Torah didn't want this Chalos to happen. But over here, the Torah wasn't Makbid not to have a Chalos get of a tattoo. The Torah is Makbid not to have any tattoo. That whether or not it's a Chalos get does not make it a worse or better Isser. And therefore, we don't apply in those cases the Ovid Lomahani, same as writing a get on Shabbos. Since the Chal Shabbos is just as bad whether it's a valid get or not, again, the fact that it's a get is sort of coincidence to the Aveira, then we don't say Yovid Lomahani. We only say Yovid Lomahani when the Chalos is integral to the Aveira. Okay, good question. Now, what's the answer? My Havi Allah, and what's the answer to Rabbi Baruch Hama's question? Do we believe she's divorced, or do we suspect that Eved wandered in on his own? Tashma da Amr Reish Lakish, HaGodros Ein Lem Chazak. Reish Lakish has a famous Shita, HaGodros. Godros comes from the Lashon of Gidros Tzon Nivner L'Meknenu Po V'Arim L'Tapenu, right, in Parshas Matos. Godros means animals that are supposed to be fenced in. Now, what does it mean? By the time the Gemara gets through with it, it means animals that in some places you keep them fenced in, and in some places you let them go in the street, For example, my dog. I let my dog run in the street. So if you're holding, let's start one step earlier. My wallet. Or better example. My necklace. If you're holding my necklace and you claim I sold it to you or gave it to you as a gift and I claim you stole it, you win. Why? Because if you're holding it, that proves something. Whoever's holding something, mistama, it's theirs until proven otherwise. But that doesn't apply to Goldgross. If you're holding my dog, you have my dog on a leash. You have my dog in your trunk. You have my dog in your car. You have my dog locked up in your house. Then it is not a valid chazaka. If I sue you and claim you stole my dog, I win and you lose. Why? Because Goldgross ain't lem chazaka. Anything that wanders around on its own in the streets, you can't say whoever's holding this chazaka because it could have just wandered in. Okay, that makes a lot of common sense to us. Okay, if we're learning Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, we'll get into a lot of love this, but for now, that clearly makes common sense. So, go to saying lam chazaka, meaning the fact that you're holding a moving animal, which includes a moving person, does not prove that you acquired him because he could have wandered on his own and then you just grabbed him and locked him in your house. Okay, or in the event, you convince him to stay in your house. So, therefore, la halacha, this is not a valid get. The woman is not validly divorced. What is the status of this woman? Is taka bit of machlokas. Rishonim, the Rambam says the woman is suffic divorced because maybe her husband gave her the eved and maybe the eved wandered in on his own. And the Orzarua, quoting the Agosa Shri here, says she's vadai not divorced because the husband is vadai mosuk in the eved. In Dini Mamanos, the husband wins the Eved 100%. Therefore, she's vadai not divorced. But in any case, practically, she's not divorced. Okay, maybe we'll have time to come back with that. But first, I want to deal with 2 points. Number one, the kasha of Tosos, the Ramaskal Toshma. Tosos asks, it's obvious to all of us who know a little about Gemara that if you can be kosher nibai, if you can prove something from a Mishnah or prove something from a Maimra of an Amora, it's obviously better to prove it from a Mishnah than a Maimra of the Amora. And here we seem to have a relevant Mishnah. What does the famous Mishnah in Bava Basra say, right? Probably the most famous Mishnah in all of Bava Basra says, Chezgas Habatim. Chezgas Habatim. Haboros Rashichim Omeros Roshokos Nechazos Veitzbatim Mishlachim. Veha'avadim. Chos Yosef Peyus Tadir. Chezkoshon Sholoshanim Miyom Liyom. Chezgas Habatim. Avadim, we're talking about Avadim here. We're named Goldros. We have Avadim Mamish. Shaloshanim mi yom le yom. What does that mean? That's exactly what this Mishnah is telling us. For metaltalin, the chazaka is miyad. If I'm holding your metaltalin, right away, that proves that it's mine. I'm mochzak. Hamotzim hirol of araya, you have to sue me and prove it if you want to get the thing back. However, cheskas habatim for karka for real estate, if I'm holding onto your karka, then that doesn't prove anything unless I've been there for 3 years. And likewise, avadim is in the Mishnah. If I'm holding onto your eved, it doesn't prove anything until I've had him for 3 years. So it's a mafurish Mishnah in Bava Basra that tfisa doesn't work by avadim. It's a mafurish Mishnah in Bava Basra that holding onto an eved proves nothing. Maybe after 3 years it might, but we're not talking about after 3 years. We're talking about right away. It's a mafurish Mishnah in Bava Basra that holding onto an eved proves nothing. Why? Because the Eved might have wandered in on his own. After all, why does proving karka, holding on to karka, prove nothing? Because I might have wandered into the karka on my own. Why does, right? Meaning you can't lock up your karka. You can't put your karka in your safe, right? You can't hold on to karka. I might have wandered on my own. Why is Chazak ibn Eved prove nothing? Because the Eved might have wandered in on his own. So Tulsus asked the double whammy kasha. Number one, why is Argamar poshet from Rish Lakish when they could have been poshet from a Mishnah? Everyone knows the rules are you should be poshet from a Mishnah if you have one. That's much more authoritative than a Maimra of an Amora. And it says Mefurish that holding onto an Eved doesn't help. And also, what's Rish Lakish's Chiddush? If it's a Mefurish Mishnah that Avadim Ein Lehem Chazaka, then Rish Lakish should have said the same thing by, then Rish Lakish says no Chiddush. If Avadim don't have a Chazaka, then Mestama, sheep and goats and dogs as well, because what's unique about Avadim is that they move, and sheep and goats and dogs also move. So that is Tosos double whammy kasha. And Tosos answers this in what seems to be a quantitative distinction, right? Oh, we always hope he'll use a qualitative distinction, but Tosos gives a quantitative distinction. What's he assuming here? Here we have, what is Tosa saying? Here we have something, what is obvious? What is a Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Eved Avodim Ein Lahem Chazaka. I know that's not the the language of the Mishnah, but that's what it says. Until if I've been holding on to Isaac's Eved for 2 years and 11 months and 28 days, be on the safe side, then I have to get, then if he says I stole it, I have to give it back. I have no chazaka. So the kasha is, if the Mishnah is about Ein Lahem Chazaka, so then why doesn't that prove our sugya? And Rish Lakish, apparently our sugya assumes that here the Mishnah, it's Pashtun in the Mishnah, our sugya assumes that it's not Pashtun whether Tfisas Eved is a Chazaka. It's not Pashtun if Tfisas Eved is Chazaka. And he couldn't answer from the Mishnah. He could only answer from Rish Lakish. And Rish Lakish assumes, since he had to say something, that it's not Pashtun. It's a Chiddush of Rish Lakish. That Godros. These two things apparently prove each other. Godros proves our sugya. But why isn't it obvious from the Mishnah? So Tosos gives a quantitative distinction. Here's Tosos and many other Rishonim here. What did Tosos and many other Rishonim here say? Tosos says, no, Eved ein lo chazaka, because, what does Tosos say? He says that masnisen lo shemina godros, having the davka avadin the das va'ayilu minaf shayhu. Eved is more likely to wander on his own than an animal. Why is an Eved more likely to wander on his own than an animal? Because an Eved has das, and therefore he might decide it's kedai to wander on his own. The Ramban even adds, after all, you know, if we believe that wherever an Eved was is where he is who owns him, then that would end the whole institution of Avdus. Every Eved would blackmail his Adon and say, you know, I'm making a plot against you. I'm going to walk over to Plony's house and say I'm his, and then he'll be rich and you'll be poor unless you do whatever I say. And then it would be ridiculous. So, Tosos gives a quantitative distinction. Kamuti, that's quantitative, as opposed to Eichuti. He says, here it is very likely that he was nichnas me'atzmo, right? Minaf shayu ayil. Why? Because he's a ben das and he could have had a plot to go on his own. As opposed to Reish Lakish's case, it's not so likely that he went on his own. It's only somewhat likely in those cases. I mean, the Mishnah is a case where it's very likely he went on his own, because an Eved has das and can make a plot. And after all, you can't keep your Eved locked up to a ball and chain all day long, right? And therefore, he could easily just make a plot and go to someone else's house. But in Reish Lakish's case, it's only somewhat likely that they went on his own. Why? Because in the Godros, they have no das. My sheep can't make a plot to go to someone else's house. So it's somewhat likely that it wandered on its own just because it's wandering in the street. And you never know, it might wander down the guy's street and he'll grab it. But it's not as likely as an Eved, because it wouldn't go on purpose someone's house. And our sugya also, you couldn't impose it from the Mishnah, because our sugya is only somewhat likely the Eved went on his own. Not very likely. Why? Because once a regular Eved, you can't keep locked up in to a ball and chain all day long. And therefore, it's very likely he'll wander someplace on his own and have some sort of a plot using his das. But once the husband writes a get on the Eved, he's obviously more careful to keep this Eved locked up, to keep an eye on this Eved, because he knows that there's serious stuff going on here and that his whole marriage depends on it. And therefore, once he writes the get on the Eved, he's going to be more careful, and it's not going to be very likely that he'll let the Eved wander around. He'll tell someone to keep an eye on the Eved. It's only somewhat likely the Eved will move. So here, because it's no das, and because the Baal is Shomer this eved. The Baal guards this eved more carefully because the eved has a get written on it. And therefore, what was Rabbi Yochanan's abaye? His ibaya was tain of something very likely to wander into Aaron's house like a regular eved. Obviously, he has to give the eved back to me, and we don't believe him that he bought it because it's very likely the eved wandered in on his own. But what about a case where it's only somewhat likely wandered on his own, like an eved with a get written on it, where I would be careful and not let him wander around? But on the other hand, he still might wander around. That's a topic. Most of that from Reish Lakish, talking about sheep and goats is also only somewhat likely. And yet, even when it's somewhat likely, Tfisa is not Muxakus. Likewise, this eved with a get is somewhat likely, Tfisa is not Muxakus. That is Tosos and many Mishonim, and it's a perfectly reasonable, workable answer. The Pnei Yoshua points out, however, that if you get into the lumdus of Baba Basra, right, here's where all of us have a Yitzhar Hara to say, let's take off from now till the end of the year and just learn the third paragraph of Basra. But we're not going to do that because that'll ruin, you know, a few years from now when Amir Tzoshem, they'll decide to learn Baba Basra. So what does the Pnei Yoshua say? The Pnei Yoshua says, based on the most fundamental Chakira in Chezkes Abatim, right? Okay, the Chakira is a little more complicated than this. But here is the most fundamental chakira in Chezkes Abatim. This chakira comes out of the Shakavataria on Daf Chavtesam and Aleph right there in Chezkes Abatim, because in Daf Chavtesam and Aleph in the Shakavataria, understanding this Mishnah, the Gemara has a line where it says, It's not fair enough. It's not mafurish in the Gemara right here, but the Rishonim bring in a concept called the Gemara here discussed on Chav Tesam and Aleph that las shatak ha-maisim mizdari nish b'shtarei tarti las mizdar b'shtarei mizdar tfei lo mizdahir for one or two or three years, the first, second, and third year, the guy who bought it is careful not to lose his shtar. Afterwards, he's not careful, and he might have lost his shtar. That's a concept that we show him called ach ve'shtarich, show me your shtar. Meaning, karka and avadim, what do they have in common? Besides the fact that you can't put them in your safe, and karka anyone could wander onto, and avadim could wander onto anywhere. But karka and avadim have something in common in that there's a Kenyan shtar. There's no Kenyan shtar for metaltalin, but there is a Kenyan shtar for karka and avadim. So therefore, what happens if you are in my land and I say, what are you doing in this land? And you say, you bought it. I say, Isaac, what are you doing in my house? Isaac says, I bought the house. What do I say to Isaac? If you bought the house, where's the shtar? I can't say this to Isaac if he has my necklace. I can't say this to Isaac if he has my basketball, because there is no shtar for metaltalin. But I say to Isaac, where's your shtar? And he says, he thinks quickly, and he says, oh, I lost my shtar. So then what do we say? Within the first 3 years, we say, give me a break. No one loses a shtar the first 3 years. You're a big liar. But if it's been 4 or 5 or 50 or 60 years, we say, yeah, people lose the shtar at some point. So that's a reasonable taina. So what is the Pnei Yeshua says? If we only had the Mishnah in, this is the big Chakira. Here's the Chakira. Why is there no Muchzokos right away? Why isn't the bare Tfisa? Why isn't just holding on to it for 1 second Muchzokos in Karka and Avadim in the Mishnah in Baba Basra just like it is in Metaltalin? Why, when I'm holding your basketball for 1 minute, am I Muchzok? But when I'm holding your Eved for 2 years and 11 months and 28 days, I am not Mochzak. So we're not sure in that Mishnah. The answer could be because it could have wandered on its own. I could wander the land, the Eved could wander to my land. But the answer could be a different answer because really, I wouldn't Mochzak right away, but Ach Mishtarech, because you have a Reyesah, you should win by holding on to this Karkat Eved. But the fact you don't have a Shtar is a disproof. And therefore, we are misupik, what's the reason for the Mishnah in Baba Basra, right? So what does he say? He gives a, what we call echuti. He says, no, if we only had the Mishnah in Baba Basra, we would say that the reason for Ein Chazaka, the reason there's no Chazaka, I know there isn't 3 years. I mean, the reason there's no Chazaka right away might be because of Achve Shtorich, not because Nichnas Me'atzmo. Meaning, the Gemara had a suffix, had a Chakira in the mission of Basra. Is the reason there's no Chazaka Miyad? Is the reason there's no Chazaka right away because it might have wandered in, and that's why there's no Chazaka on an Eved? Or no, the reason there's no Chazaka on an Eved is because you're lacking a Shtar. And therefore, just in that Mishnah, we would not know Reish Lakish's case. Because Reish Lakish is talking about animals. Godros means dogs and sheep and goats, etc. And there's no Shtar for Metaltalin. And therefore, we wouldn't have known Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, we would say, there's no Inyan of Achve Shtarich. The only reason is Nichnas Me'atzmo, meaning we can't prove Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is a Chiddush. We don't know Reish Lakish automatically from the mission of Baba Basra. Because until Reish Lakish came along, we thought the reason there was no Chazak in Baba Basra is because there's a Reyesa, because you don't have a Shtar. Not because it might have wandered in on its own. So we might have thought that if you're holding on to my Eved, you have no Chazaka because I say, where's your Shtar if it's been less than 3 years? But if you're holding on to my sheep, you do have a Chazaka because there's no Shtar. Reish Lakish comes and tells us a tremendous Chiddush. Reish Lakish comes and tells us a tremendous Chiddush. Reish Lakish. Sorry. Reish Lakish says, the reason that there's no Chazaka in Avodim is not because of Achve Shtarich. You thought that was the reason in Baba Basra? Maybe that's also true, but there's a better reason why there's no Chazaka in Avodim. There's no Chazaka in Avodim because since they move by themselves, or Choshesh, Minafshe, Ayel, it might have come in on its own. And that's the Chiddush Reish Lakish. And why did Brian Bar Chama not know what's going on in this Sugya? Because in our Sugya, now you could say this a little differently. I'll say it the way Pirush says. In our sugya, you're not supposed to write a shtar on this eved. Normally, if I sold you an eved, I would write a shtar because why would I sell you an eved without writing a shtar? Everyone writes a shtar, so there'll be some written evidence of selling you this eved. But over here, I don't have to write a shtar for this eved because I already wrote a get on the eved. And when I write a get on the eved, I'm saying I'm divorcing you by giving you the eved. And what I'm basically saying is I'm giving you the Eved, and therefore I wouldn't write a shtar besides the get that's already written on the Eved. Because the get that's already written on the Eved is good enough, because what's it saying? It's saying this Eved has been given by this husband to this wife. And therefore you don't expect someone to write a separate shtar when they give the Eved over to their wife as a get. And therefore, here also, the only reason is Nichnas Be'atzmo. Why? Because you don't, in this case, you don't write a separate shtar. Since you already wrote the get on the Eved, you don't write a separate shtar. So here the Pnei Yeshua says, what's Rami Bar Chama Zibaya? Rami Bar Chama Zibaya was, I know in a normal case of Eved, there's no Chazaka, because the guy says, Ach vi shtarich. Show me your shtar. And the lack of a shtar is a proof that he stole it. But in this case, the lack of a shtar is not a proof that he stole it. And now I just want to know if the svara of Minafshe Ayel is a good svara or not. Are we choshesh that he wandered it by himself or not? And I can't be posting that for the mission of Baba Basra. So that's why you have to go to Reish Lakish. Since Reish Lakish says, go to Reish Lakish Chazaka, that proves that not only is Achvi Shtarich a good svara, but Dilma Minafshe Ayel is also a good svara. Once we know Dilma Minafshe Ayel is a good svara, then we go back to our case and say the woman's not divorced. That's the Pnei Yeshua's chap based on the most fundamental Chakira in the Mishnah in the third parak of Baba Basra. Okay.
Isn't that circular, though? What you're saying that it's the get is a shtar because it's good get, but the only reason it's a good get is because we say it's a shtar.
Okay. So, number one, I'm going to say something a little later that might address it, but for now, I'll say, I will say one of three things. I'll answer Morty one of three things. Either number one, I'll say this is all psychological. It's all about whether the guy would have written a separate shtar or not, right? Achvi shtarich is a psychological svara. You wouldn't have bought it without a shtar, and therefore, where's your shtar? So it could very well be that once a person already wrote his name and her name on this eved, he wouldn't bother to write another shtar. Doesn't matter if it's circular or not. Psychologically, he wouldn't bother to go through the tircha of writing another shtar when he already wrote something on the eved. That's one possibility. The second possibility is, and this is the way Pnei Yeshua is going, is that, and this is something that we'll have to deal with a little more on Daf Chaf Aleph, but we're not necessarily going to get to Daf Chaf Aleph for a couple of weeks. The second possibility is, he says, why do people write a shtar? They write a shtar because since they're selling the Eved as part of regular Dini Mominus transaction, and an Eved is nicked the Bekesav Shtar Chazaka, they usually choose shtar. But in a get, you don't need to do a regular mominus transaction on a get. In a get, you just have to hand over the get. And since handing over the get is the nasan biyada, is considered significant, therefore that creates a kinyan in and of itself. What he's claiming here is that just handing over the get is its own kinyan, because when you hand over a shtar, that's a maisa kinyan on the shtar. So his one way of defending the Pnei Yeshua is to say psychologically, you wouldn't bother to write two things. The second way is to say people only write a shtar when they're transferring the get through transferring the eved through kinyan avodim. Over here, you're transferring the eved through kinyan of gerushin. When I give the wife the get, that makes the get belong to her, and therefore I don't need another shtar. The third possibility is that, is that over here, but this is that ties into something that we might come back to a little later, is that over here, we don't necessarily care. Why don't we care about Achvei Shtarech? Not because it's not a good taina. Maybe Achvei Shtarech is a good taina, but it's a side point. You have a side problem that you don't have a shtar. You're actually holding on to the get is very, the evidence is very valid. Meaning in the Suffolk Rav Merchama, holding on to the evidence is significant. You just have a counter taina of Achvei Shtarech. It could be that once holding on to the get is significant, even if there's a counter tain of Achvei Shtarech, that might allow it to be valid because you have thesis balashtar, but I'll explain that a little more later. Okay, so...
really makes a lot of sense. The way the Pnei Yeshua puts it, so in all probability, she should be divorced because all of the circumstances, just because you're telling me, and Reish Lakish says no. Okay, you're fitting in the Gemara, but the logic, the way the Pnei Yeshua sets it up.
No, because that's only in the half a minute when you thought it was going to be Achvei Shtarech. In the end, what do we say? For sure, the husband wrote a get because he was thinking of divorcing her. But who says that he gave her the get? The Eved might have said, hey, I'm written on a get to this wife. I like the wife better than the husband. Let me make a deal with her. Maybe she'll pay me afterwards. And he runs over to the wife's house. Right.
Yeah, but we'll see a various sources you gave us. It's a lomak diminish punasa peronasa lenafshe. So that isn't necessarily approved. Pnei Yeshua builds up such a good taina, it's very hard to break it down afterwards by just saying kamash mulan Reish Lakish. I don't know if Reish Lakish had in mind when he said it.
Okay, it doesn't bother me so much. I hear the taina, doesn't bother me so much. Okay, now let us go on to something very fascinating, in my opinion. I hope that by the end of the year it will be fascinating in your opinion as well, which is the diuk of the Rambam from our Gemara. What does the Rambam say? Let's look at the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet. Says the Rambam, he starts with the Rambam Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet, starts with a case that is not in our Gemara, which is perfectly reasonable. He starts with a case that's not in our Gemara. Haya get chakuk al yadu shel eved b'ksovas kaka. A get was tattooed on an eved's arm. Then the woman's holding on to the Eved. The Edom are tattooed in as well. She is Megureshes through the Eid Hasima, even without Eid Mesira. Shaharin Yachal is Daif, because Savshin Yachal is Daif, because it is a tattoo. What does the Rambam say? This is not the case of our Gemara. The next line in the Rambam is the case of the Gemara. Afilo Yimuchzakim Evet Shushalo. Right? That's how our Gemara starts. Bari Ram Barchama. Hayu Muchzakim Evet Shushalo. Meaning, Ram Barchama's case is you know the Evet used to belong to the husband. The Rambam starts with a different case. You don't know who the Evet used to belong to. You have no idea who the Evet used to belong to. What happens if you have no idea who the Evet used to belong to? The Rambam says, then she's divorced. Our Gemara says she's not divorced. That's because you know the husband used to own the Evet. What do we call this in Bava Metzia, Bava Basra language, that you know who used to own him? What's the halachic phrase for this? This is called a Marakama. Marakama, the original Okama, like first. The original owner. Yeah. Right? Our case is where the Baal had what they call Chezgas Marakama. What the Rishonim call Chezgas Marakama. The Baal used to own it. The Rambam discussed the case where we don't know who used to own it. Now, let's just think something obvious. Let's review our Baba Basra. If I used to own an Eved, everyone knows I owned this Eved last week, and now Simcha's holding on to the Eved for 1 week, then it's a Mefurish Mishnah in Baba Basra that he has to give him back to me. That there's Cheskas Avadim is only 3 years. If I used to own a dog, everyone saw that yesterday was my dog, and right now Norman's holding on to the dog, then everyone agrees he has to give it back to me. On the Markama, Godros Ein Lem Chazaka. When Godros Ein Lem Chazaka or Karka or Avadim don't have Chazaka in less than 3 years, you have to give it back to the Marakama. What if there's no Marakama? What if I'm holding a dog and no one knows who used to own the dog? Then obviously I keep the dog. Why wouldn't I keep the dog? Right? What if I'm holding onto an Eved and no one knows who used to own the Eved? Obviously I keep the Eved. What if I'm living in a house and no one knows who used to own the house? Obviously it's my house. Columbus discovers an island somewhere and there's an Indian living in a house. He can't prove he was living there for 3 years. Of course it's his house, because we don't know that anyone owned it previously. If there's no Marakama, then of course whoever's holding on to everything keeps it. So says the Rambam, if there's no Marakama of this Eved, then the woman's divorced. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. It's not such a big Chiddush. All the Acharonim point out, it's not a big Chiddush. Because Rami Bar Chama starts, Hayu Muchzakim Be'Eved Shushalo. Why doesn't he just start with the next line that she's holding on to it? Obviously, Rami Bar Chama means my Ibai is only if Muchzak Me'Eved Shushalo, to put that in Lumdish terms, if the husband is the Marakama. And the obvious diak from Rami Bar Chama is, but if the husband's not the Marakama, if we don't know who originally owned this Eved, no one's ever seen the Eved before, then there would be no Ibai of Rami Bar Chama, and she would be divorced. So the Rambam here is saying a Chiddush, but it's a Chiddush that's pretty strongly Meduyak in our Gemara. As a matter of fact, I don't know of anyone in the world who disagrees with this Chiddush of the Rambam. A lot of Rishonim didn't talk about it. But I don't know of anyone who disagrees. I know people as Kashas, but that's not the same as agreeing. I don't know any posting who disagrees with this Rambam, because it's pretty Meduyak from our Gemara. Joel, you had a question.
Yes, so when you say there was no previous owner, let's say there was a Marakama 10 years ago, and he says, yeah, but I sold the Eved to somebody, I don't remember who.
Then that's the same as that's the same as having no previous owner.
Okay.
So let us, so here's the Rambam. What's the problem with the Rambam? The problem with the Rambam is thus. The problem with the Rambam is the Beis Shmuel's Kasha based on the next Gemara. What does the next Gemara say? And we already know this next Gemara because we read this next Gemara a couple times. The next Gemara says that if the woman owns something, then, and she lends it to her husband and he gives it to her as a get, we know that's puzzle. That's the next Gemara. The next Gemara says that. Remember, I said it was 1.5 Gemaras. It's the bottom of Chaf and Beis, and according to Tosfos, also near the top of Chaf and Aleph, if the woman owns the get, it's no good. The husband has to own the get before he gives it to her. So we had a Chakira. Does that mean the husband has to own the get? Does that mean just that the woman can't own the get? But clearly in this Eved, We can't say the Eved was hers the whole time. She's holding on to the Eved. Normally, in Dine Mamanos, if Reuben's holding on to an Eved, he just said it was mine the whole time, and he wins. But in this case, she can't say it was hers the whole time. She has to admit that it used to belong to the husband. Otherwise, how did he give it to her as a get? So she has to admit it used to belong to the husband. Once she admits it used to belong to the husband, now the husband's the Marakama. Now we're back to Rami Bar Chama. So what's Beis Shmuel's Kasha? The Beis Shmuel's Kasha is, what do you mean? It's always like how you b'chzakim be'evet shu shalom, because she's claiming she's divorced. If she wants to say, I'm not divorced, it's just my Eved, then fine, she'd win. If she says, I'm not divorced at all, this just happens to be my Eved, then Eina Chanami, she'd win. But she doesn't want to win ownership of the Eved. She wants to win the right to remarry. So she says, my husband gave me this get. We say, who owned this get? She can't say, I've owned this get all the time. Normally, right, whenever a kid steals something in kindergarten, what do they say? Shali mea bayit. She can't say shali mea bayit. She has to say, no, I didn't own this Eved the whole time. Chas v'shalom. My husband owned the Eved, and then he gave it to me. Says, even if I owned the Eved last week, I gave it to my husband as a matana gemura, and he gave it back to me. So since her taina has to admit that she gave it to the husband, therefore, now we have a problem. Now we should be back to the rabbi of Rami Bar Chama. Once we know the husband owned it, now we don't know whether he gave it to her as a get or whether the Eved wandered on its own. Okay, now we're back to the case of Rami Bar Chama. How is it better that it's not Mufzak and Shu Shalom? Either way, it's Shalom, because we might have Shach. If it wasn't Shalom, she's not divorced. And if it was Shalom, you're back to Rami Bar Chama and she's not divorced. That's the Kasha of the Beis Shmuel and the Rambam, and it's a very strong Kasha. And all the Achronim labored mightily to try to answer this Kasha in all various kinds of ways. So it's Taka, a good question. It is a Mimonav Shach. Let's just review the case. Here is the case in the Gemara. Let me see if I can get this on the board. Case in Gemara. The case in the Gemara is that the Eved used to be his. And what do we say? Once the Eved used to be his, now there is no proof that he gave her the get being the Eved. There's no proof he gave her the get, because since this get has legs, it might have wandered in on its own. That's the case of the Gemara. What's the case of the Rambam? What's the Reisha of the Rambam? Is that, what's the Reisha of the Rambam? Is that the Eved was always hers? Obviously, I don't mean the Eved was always hers. But I mean is that as far as we know, the Eved is always hers. What's the problem? Now it sounds good. If the Eved is always hers, then it's hers. The problem is this. What is Beis Shmuel's Kasha? The Kasha is Mimonav Shach. Mimonav Shach. If it never belonged to the Baal, then Eina Megureshes. And if it did belong to the Baal, then we're back to square one. Then there is no proof that he gave her the get, right? So the Beis Shmuel says he doesn't understand. He understands where the Rambam came from. It's a diuk from the Gemara. It seems like a good diuk from the Gemara, but he doesn't understand the Svara. Okay, who wants to defend the Rambam?
The Marshal defends the Rambam.
The who?
Chochmah Shlomo.
Oh, no, it's not the Chochmah Shlomo, the Marshal. The Chachma Shlomo on Shas is the Maharshal from the 1500s. The Chachma Shlomo on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch is of Shlomo Kluger from the 1800s, 1900s.
Mm.
Okay, but in any case, what does he say?
That there's a Tanai working here, and it's obvious that the Tanai is going to be fulfilled, and that the husband, then even if it belonged to her, she gave it to the husband, and that he's giving it back to her with the fulfillment of the Tanai.
Okay. Now keep in mind, I am a Litvak. I mean, I don't mean biologically. I'm not a Galitzianer. I'm allowed to argue under Shlomo Kluger, right, Chaim? So here's my problem. Chaim says, not Chaim, the Shlomo Kluger in the Chachma Shlomo says, Azoy. He says, no. He solves the problem like this. After all, she's Mosuk in the Evid. She can claim it was hers all along. And what will she claim? She'll claim she gave it to the husband as a matana al tanai.
Yeah.
Al manas lahachzer. She gave it to the husband that if you give it back to me as a get, then it's a matana. And if you don't give it back to me as a get, then it's not a matana. And therefore, she wins. Because now she wins me Manav Shach. We believe her, she gave it to her husband. If the husband gave it to her as a get, it's hers. If the husband didn't give it to her as a get, then it's also hers, because the tie wasn't fulfilled, then it's hers. That is Rav Shlomo Kluger's answer. Right, Chaim?
Yeah.
Right. The problem is that I don't see how it makes sense. Because it still hasn't proven she's divorced. It proves she owns the Evid. Shkoyach. If she wanted to prove she owned the Evid, she can admit she's not divorced. That's no chat. It's no chat for her to own the Evid and not be divorced. She wants to be divorced. The problem is this. She'll claim she gave it to her husband. That's why I put it in brackets. I don't think it's true. She put it in, not everything in brackets, because I don't think it's true. Sometimes just because it's a side point. But she gave it to her husband as a matanah las lahachzir. Still, we have no proof. Look what's written on the board. No proof that he gave her the get. Maybe he gave her the get and she's divorced, or maybe he didn't give it to her as a get and it wandered in on its own. And Taka, because the tonight wasn't fulfilled, it still belongs to her, but she wasn't divorced. We still have no proof she's divorced. All the Chachma Shlomo does is prove that she owns the Evid, but he hasn't fully answered her question. I'm not saying the Chachma Shlomo didn't know what he's talking about. I'm just saying that he's answering the question that he's interested in answering right now. He's not fully answering all the questions that we have. Right, our question is, where's the proof that she's divorced? And the Chachma Shlomo doesn't help us. He gives us proof that she owns the Evid, but he doesn't give us proof that she's divorced, because maybe she gave it to her husband Antonos Lahachzir. The Evid wandered back into her house, and she was never divorced. So the Chachma Shlomo, while he is answering the question, how can she prove she owns the Evid, but he's not answering the question that we care about. We're learning Gittin. We're not learning Baba Basra. We want to know how we can prove she's divorced. So Chachma Shlomo, we're going to have to cross off. Who wants to try again? Okay. But first of all, whoever doesn't have a masifta gets to talk first.
Good.
Okay, now everyone gets to talk whether or not they have a masifta.
I guess I didn't do well.
Okay, that, you don't have to. I never said you have to. I just said you can.
Yeah.
Okay, here it gets a little tricky. Okay, the base mayor has other tainas. The base mayor wants to say that, no, we believe her that... she's divorced. The woman's neman to say she received the get as a divorce. That goes against all Masechus Gittin, where she's not neman unless there's a proof. No, he says all Masechus Gittin, she's not neman because maybe she's stealing the piece of paper from her husband in Dini Mamonos. But if we assume that she would win in Dini Mamonos, she's believed to say she's divorced. Okay, that's a big finish. Really? The only reason we don't believe her to say that this piece of paper was given to her as a divorce from her husband is because she might be stealing the piece of paper? No, Menastam, we think she might be falsely claiming she's divorced in order to remarry. So I'm not so makabel that. Okay, I want to go to Rav Chaim, but even Rav Chaim, I woke up this morning and I came to the Shir Mesupik. Should I say Pshanim Rav Chaim or should I say Pshanim my own? Meaning, am I saying Pshanim Rav Chaim or am I saying different from Rav Chaim? The answer is I'm not 100% sure. Maybe what I'm saying is Pshanim Rav Chaim, maybe what I'm saying is different from Rav Chaim. But either way, regardless of what it is, I want to start with Rav Chaim. And again, without promising you that I fully understand Rav Chaim, the Rav is a little similar to Rav Chaim here. Without promising you I fully understand what they're saying, without promising you whether or not what I'm saying is what they're saying or not, I'm going to tell you what I think is the truth, and then you can make of it what you wish. Rav Chaim starts with something like this. He says that There's something special in shtara. Again, what I'm saying definitely doesn't fit into the lashon of Rav Chaim as quoting the stencil here, which doesn't bother me so much because Rav Chaim didn't write the stencils. It was people's notes. But Rav Chaim starts with a certain chai. Kid Darko Bakodesh, he says, hold on a second. Shtaros work differently than regular rules of buying and selling things, right? That's how Rav Chaim starts with here. And the Rav as well starts at the same point in his shiurim here. He says there's something special about shtaros. There's something special about tfisas balashtar, right? Remember when we discussed shtaros in the beginning of this year, what did we say? We said in the name of Rav Chaim Piyashmua, in the name of the Rav, that shtaros, we said two things. We had two basic yesodos in shtaros. By shtaros here, I mean shtaros as eidos. Our first yesod was that a shtar is not a regular eidos of, and I'm not going to repeat all the proofs. Hopefully those proofs are seared in your mind forever.
Yes.
Of course, thank you. The first chiddush we said was that a shtar is not regular eidos of people testifying as to what they saw, what they heard, what they know, just through a funny medium of print instead of a medium of sound waves. Rather, a shtar is a chiddush of a cheftushal eidos that is made on things that the eider may or may not have seen and may or may not have known. And second chiddush, a shtar is even made on its own kashrus, even though that sounds circular.
Yes.
And third chiddush is that what makes a shtar be made and what determines how it's made and what it's made is what we call tfisas bala shtar. The eidos of a shtar depends on who is holding it, right? If I am holding the shtar that says Eli owes me 10,000 shekel, then it's meyed that I lent him 10,000 shekel and that he hasn't repaid it. If Eli's holding onto that shtar, it's not meyed anything. Vechule. Okay, you put all these together, and here I'm just going to conflate what I want to say with what Rav Chaim is saying. And you say like this. You say, here's the chak. The problem in our sugya is, where's the proof that the husband gave the wife the get? After all, Dilma Minafshe Ayel, where's the proof the husband gave the wife the get? So what I'm going to answer is, don't, until now, we've forgotten the magic of shtaros. We've said, look, let's just look at this from a perspective of Dinei Mamonos of, is the fact that I'm holding something, would that win in court or would it lose in court? You know, who would win in court of law as to who's the owner of this Eved or this Godros or this what have you?
Mm-hmm.
But we forgot the uniqueness of Tfisas Bala Shtar. Maybe the answer is, what's the proof the husband gave the wife the get? Let's just go back one moment. Let's go back to a regular get. Let's say the get was written, let's make it exciting, on a tas shel zahav, right? We've heard of such a case happening, or at least such a case discussed in Shas. The get is written on gold worth $1 million. The wife's holding on to it. What's the proof that the husband handed it to her? Maybe she stole it. Maybe there was no get. So until now, we thought the proof that the husband handed it to her was the fact she's holding it. And if she's holding it, she couldn't have stolen it. And if she's holding it, there's no other way she could have been holding it if someone hadn't given it to her. And therefore, it's proof that someone gave it to her. Therefore, it's proof the husband gave it to her. I want to say no. That's within the regular realm of Dinei Mamonos. How do we know the husband gave the wife the gold? How do we know the husband gave the wife a piece of paper? How do we know in shtaros that the husband didn't drop it in the park and she picked it up, or that she didn't steal it from the husband, especially since the angle that Chaim mentioned that was discussed by a number of the Achronim that may or may not have been on the Makor sheet, maybe the Chachma Shlomo discussed it. In general, when a wife is holding her husband's property, we don't assume she owns it because the wife and the husband live in the same household. So what's the proof? Okay, you can answer that by saying now she's not a wife anymore because he's divorced
her. Right.
But what's the proof that the husband ever handed the wife the get? The answer is the get is made that it was handed from the husband to the wife. That's part of the magic of shtaros. After all, how do we know the edim are not forged? The edim are made, they're not forged. How do we know the edim are kosher edim? The edim are made, they're kosher edim. How do we know the husband, if the edim be made, they're not forged? It's not that much more of a chiddush. It's less of a chiddush, say the edim are made, that the shtar is handed over from the husband to the wife. And what I'm saying is, what's the answer to where's the proof he gave for the get? The proof he gave for the get is that the get is made that he gave for the get. But what tonight do we need for the get to be made that he gave her the get? We need tfisas bal hashtar. And what is our Gemara discussing? our Gemara is not discussing like we thought until now. Until now, what did we think? Until now, let me just put on the board what we thought until now and what I'm saying. And I think what I'm saying is Pashut Pshat, because it's a Rambam which we're doing from the Gemara, and the other answers to the Rambam are Dachuk. So if you think my answer is not Dachuk, then my answer is Mukhrach. So what do we think until now? Until now, we thought that there is what we call a Mukhzakos. Mukhzakos is what Chazal call a Chazaka. And the Achronim call Mukhzakos, just because the word Chazaka means so many things in Chazal. When you might mean the kind of Chazaka that means when you're holding something, it's yours, they call that Mukhzakos, to differentiate it from other Chazakas. That the Mukhzakos was the Hochacha on the Nesina. That's what we thought until now. But now, what am I saying? What we're saying now is a different fart. What we're saying now is that, no, what's the proof there was a Nesina? The proof there was a Nesina is the shtar is made that there was a Nesina. You'll say that's circular. How can the shtar be made that there was a Nesina if the shtar is only a valid shtar if there was a Nesina? That's exactly how all shtaros work. The way all shtaros work is that once you have a lichora tfisas bala shtar, then that creates a chefter shel shtar, and the chefter shel shtar is meyed that it was more than lichora, that it was actually 100% proof that it was a valid shtar. Right? Obviously, I don't mean shtar is meyed grand things for no reason. We are very careful when we say this the whole time. When a shtar seems to be a valid shtar in the hands of someone who seems to be the bala shtar, then the chiddush of shtar kicks in, and then it's made as a proof by shnayim edim yakum davar that it's kosher in all ways, shapes, and forms. As you know, we even had that in the Tosos a little while ago, Daf Yechesed and Beis, that the shtar is made on its own kashrus in terms of nimtzeh mekar apostle, and who signed first and who signed second, if you recall. So let us. How do you know what's the hochacha? Hanesina, how do we know there was an Asina? The answer is the Chiddush of the Eidus of the Shtar. That's the whole Chiddush. All Shtar is circular Eidus. The Shtar is made that there was a Nesina. But what makes the Shtar be made in Nesina? Only what makes the Shtar be made? What we call in Brisker language the Tfisas Baal Pashtar. Now, what's Rami Bar Chama's question? Rami Bar Chama's question is not a question in Dini Mamonos, who owns the Shtar, who doesn't own the Shtar, etc. This, by the way, is the third thing I was trying to say in the Bnei Yeshua to answer Morty's question before. Rami Bar Chama is not worried about Dini Mamonos, who can prove the only Eved, who can't prove the only Eved. Rami Bar Chama is worried about whether she's divorced. He's worried about whether it's a Cheftah Shel Shtar. If it's a Cheftah Shel Shtar, the Shtar is made if there was a proper Nesina. Just like it's made that the signatures aren't forged. And don't say, tell me that's circular logic. Shtaros are allowed to have circular logic. That's the Chiddush, right? As the philosopher from my friend likes to say, that's not a kasha on my theory. That is my theory. So that's the whole Chiddush of Shtaros. That's not Rav Chaim's fault. That's Mukher from many places all over Shas. So a shtar is made on its own kashrus. So it's no problem. How do we know the shtar was given by the husband to the wife? The shtar is made that it was given by kashrus from the husband to the wife. Hakol behefsher nase. Remember, according to Tosos, the shtar is even made. It was nimser be'edim mesira if you need to. Right? The shtar is made on its mesira. That's no problem. But the shtar is only made on its mesira if there's a tfisas bala shtar. Rami Bar Chama's Ivai is this. What counts as tfisas bala shtar? What's called tfisas bal hashtar? How much of a tfisa do you need to be tfisas bal hashtar? And that's who's mesupik. If I'm holding on to your gold tablet, that's a tfisa. If I'm holding on to your piece of paper, that's a tfisa. What if I'm holding on to an evid? Is that a tfisa or is that not a tfisa? He's mesupik. Maybe holding on to the evid counts as tfisas bal hashtar. Maybe holding on to the evid doesn't count as tfisas bal hashtar. And what is Rami Bar Chama's conclusion, or rather the Gemara's conclusion, the buyer of Rami Bar Chama? Right? Rami Bar Chama in general and all of Shas is not as big a fan of answers as he is of questions. That's why we love him so much. But what is the Gemara's answer to Rami Bar Chama's Ibaya? The answer is, nope, holding on to an evid is not even a tfisas balashtar that gets things rolling, that gets anything off the ground. Holding on to an evid is not even tfisas balashtar. Why? Because godros ein lem chazaka, and therefore, since it doesn't mean anything that you're holding this evid, since no one thinks you really got this evid, everyone knows the avadim wander around and no one thinks it's your evid. Since no one thinks it's your evid in the first place, you don't even have it. Basically, since you would be sued in court and lose the evid, therefore, that's not even a tfisas balashtar, and that's why, it's not a valid raya. And what are we saying now? If you are holding on to a gold tablet, then since you would win in court, since we think it belongs to you, that's a tfisas balashtar. Since the court would assign it to you, that's tfisas balashtar. Once you have tfisas balashtar, that presses the on button on the chiddush, the chetzesh al shtar, and now it's made that it was nimser bekashras. But what needs to get things rolling? Does the Gemara conclude? You need a... Muchzakos Dimahani Ba'inyan Mamanos. That's what the Rav and Rav Chaim are trying to say here. If you would win in court, then you have a tfisa. If you have a tfisa, then it's a shtar, and there's eidus shtar, and the eidus shtar is made on its own kashrus. That's what I'm claiming. That's basically what Rechaim, again, I think that's what Rechaim's trying to say. I think that's what the Rav's trying to say. The way he says it is, I don't like the fact he used the word anansadi, because an anansadi should be an anansadi for all areas. Allah says, oh, mitzad shtaros, the tfisa is an anansadi, and that's good enough. It's just that if you lose in mamonos, that ruins it. I think what he's saying is this, that there's unique getter of tfisa by shtaros. Once you have tfisa and shtaros, everything else follows and everything else is taken care of. It's just that if you're going to lose in dini mamonos, you don't even have a tfisa to start with. If you're going to win in dini mamonos, then you have a tfisa to start with. Now, how do I want to use this to answer the Beis Shmuel's kasha? And Rav Chaim is basically answering the Beis Shmuel's kasha with this chiddush. How do I want to use this to answer the Beis Shmuel's kasha? The Beis Shmuel's kasha was mimanevshach. If he says everyone agrees she wins in court, everyone agrees in DNA mominous court, this woman wins because, and I don't even think you need the Chachma Shlomo. With all due respect to Chaim and all his Chachma Shlomo and all his and all the other Galatianers that Chaim likes to quote,
I usually quote Abi. He's my main Galatianer.
Galatianer.
Come on.
I'm from Central Poland.
Yeah, oh. Abi's not a Galatianer. He comes from the Rambam. Everyone agrees. Let's take one thing clearly. The woman's holding on to the Eved, there is no Marakama. Everyone knows if there's no Marakama, she wins the Eved. What if she admits she gave it to the husband? So you could pull a Chachma Shlomo Matonos Lahasher, it's easier through Migo. Even if she admits she gave it to the husband, she could have said it was hers all along, she wins. Everyone agrees in court of law, if the husband's the Marakama, we're going to give him back the Eved. If there's no Marakama, the wife's going to keep the Eved. Now the Beis Shmuel asks Mimanevshach. That Mimanevshach is a good Mimanevshach if you need the Muchzakos to prove that there was a Mesira, that there was an Asina. Because he says Mimanevshach. If she never gave it to the Baal, she's not divorced. If she gave it to the Baal, now you have no proof there was a Mesira. But I'm doing an end run around the Beis Shmuel's Mimanevshach. Because you don't need the Muchzakos to prove that there was an Asina. The Shtar proves there's an Asina. Just as a prerequisite for the shtar, you need a tfisas balashtar. As a prerequisite for the tfisa, she needs to win in court. Would she win in court? Yes. Once she wins in court, now it's called tfisas balashtar. Once there's tfisas balashtar, the shtar is made that there was a proper mesira. And once the shtar is made, there's a proper mesira, you don't ask a mimanevshach. The mimanevshach is, how does her muchzakas prove there was a valid mesira? That's Beis Shmuel's assuming her muchzakas proves there was a mesira. And he says, mimanevshach. If she never gave it to him, there wasn't a Mesira. And if she gave it to him, there's no proof there's a Mesira. But we don't need her Muchzakas to prove it. The Shtar proves it. We just need her Muchzakas to be a prerequisite to give her a Tfisa so that the Dinam of Shtaris will kick in. And now you've answered the Mimanevshach of the of the, how do you answer the Mimanavshach of the Beit Shmuel, according to what I think is what Ruchaim's saying, or at the very least is what I'm saying, inspired by Ruchaim, is that the proof is the two Edim. The proof is the two Edim who are on the star. That's the proof. You don't need a Muchzakas to be a proof. Ah, the fact she's holding on to the Eved doesn't prove that the Eved was Nimser to her. It doesn't matter. The fact she's holding on to the Eved and she would win in court makes her a Tfisa, makes her the Bala Star. Once she's the Bala Star, now you have the Chiddush of Shtaros. Once you have the Chiddush of Shtaros, the star is Mayed. That there was a Mesira. And that solves the Mimon of Shach of the Beit Shmuel. I'm pretty sure that's what Urchayim's saying. I'm 90% sure that's what Urchayim meant. And I'm another 90% sure that this is not what he meant. It's very close to what he meant. So 99%, this is what Urchayim was trying to say.
So
I really think this is Pashu Pshat in the Gemara. I really think this Gemara then becomes a Raya for Urchayim's Chiddush about Shtaros. Because we have fundamental problems with Gemara. Give me a second, Chaim. Our Gemara is Medoyuk that if there's no Marakama, she's divorced. But the Beit Shmuel is a good kasha. How could she be divorced if there's no marakama? Mimanevshach, her muchzakas doesn't prove that she owns it because she must have given it back to the husband. The answer is going to be that her muchzakas doesn't have to prove that she's divorced. Her muchzakas just has to prove that she has a balashtar, that she has tfis on the shtar. She has tfis on the shtar because she would win in Dini Mamonos. Once she has tfis on the shtar proves she was divorced without any need for any other proof because the shtar proves its own kashrus. Okay, that's my vart in the Rambam here. If anyone has kashas, feel free to ask kashas, and if not, we'll add a few minutes of details.
So, can I ask something on the lotion of the Rambam? Can I ask something on the lotion of the Rambam?
Ask.
The Rambam brings two dinim in this halacha, and he connects them with the word afilu. In other words, the sugya of Rami Bar Chama is related to the thing that he derives by himself from the Gemara, by the word afilu hayu muchzakim. What does afilu mean here?
Aha. So now here's something I'm not going to have time for, and I'm not going to come back to it in the next Zman. We're going to go on in the Gemara. But this depends whether you interpret the Rambam like every sane person in the entire world, or like the brilliant, but I'm just not convinced that it's true, pshat of the Imre Moshe in that Simon Yud Tes in Anaf Gimel, toward the end of that Simon Yud Tes. So, everyone should take a chance, look at that Imre Moshe, specifically Aleph and Beis just answer a lot of technical things that are come up. Gimel is a total radical rereading of the Rambam, which I'm very attracted by. I just I'm not convinced that it fits in the Gemara. It's a brilliant read of the Rambam, just not convinced it fits in the Gemara. Anyway, let's assume not like the Imre Moshe. We're reading the Rambam like everyone else in the entire world. I think the Afilu means this. If there's no Marakama, she's Vadai Megureshes. The Rambam says, afilu, the husband's the marakama, afilu yimuchzakim shalom, she's still at least suffik migureshes. I think that's the way you have to read the Rambam. If there's no marakama, she's vadei migureshes. And even if the husband's the marakama, when she's obviously not free to remarry, you should know, she's still suffik migureshes. It still has some halachic effect. It's doable. Okay, and I'll leave for your homework. Everyone can read the Imre Moshe and Yud Tes Anaf Gimel if they want and decide whether they think that's a better pshat. It's definitely a better pshat in the Rambam. Decide whether they think it's a at all possible pshat in the Gemara or it's completely impossible. Let me just end with, I have 3 minutes. Let me end with 2 points and then we'll leave the rest for Idach Perusha Zil Gemara. There are, I hope everyone got the board. Wave your hand wildly if you don't want me to erase the board. Okay, don't worry, it'll be on Yud Torah in any case. There are 3 cases. 1 second. There are 3 cases where the Isha wins in Dine Mamonos. One is if there's no Marakama. And the only opinion we've seen so far is that she is Megureshes, right? That's what we just discussed. The second case, which is hinted at by Tosos, and everyone throws in this hint to this case, but they don't discuss it, is what about after 3 years? After 3 years, Cheskas Habatim, Data Tatva Avadim, Mishnah Daf Chav Chesed Bava Basra is Gimel Shana. After 3 years, she keeps the Eved. That's the idea of Cheskas Habatim. Would she be divorced after 3 years keeping the Eved? Or would she just keep the Eved, but it's not a valid divorce? So here there are two opinions, the Meiri and the Poskim on the side of Shulchan Aruch say she's Megareshes, meaning if she held on to this Eved for 3 years and no one complained, now she's Mosuk in this Eved, now she's Megareshes. Rav Chaim assumed not that way, and the Rav and Ishiram also assumed not that way. They disagreed. What was their taina? Their taina was, what do you mean? After 3 years, the Eide Chasim, well, give me a second. The third case was, what if the Baal is Moda that he gave her the Eved? He's Moda, he gave her the Eved. He said, of course I gave her the Eved to divorce her. Why do you think I tattooed this Eved on the get? Why do you think I went through all the trouble of tattooing the Eved on a get, possibly doing an Issur D'oraisa, at least doing an Issur D'rabbanan, you know, unless he's someone on that Das Yachid, etc. Because I want to be the cool guy who divorced his wife with a tattoo on his Eved. So, of course I gave it to her. So, what's that? What happens in that case? So, the Meiri and the Poskim, the Beis Yosef, by the way, the Poskim didn't know the Meiri. They said it on their own, says Megureshes. And the Yesh Omrim in the Meiri, he quotes the Yesh Omrim that says, no, she's not Megareshes. What's going on here? Bekitzer Nimrutz, because I only have 30 seconds left. What's going on here, Bekitzer Nimrutz? The Rav is the following Kasha. The Rav says, to be Megareshes, you need Eidoshis Megareshes. You need the Eidei, and here it's a little tricky because I'm going to disagree with Rav Chaim based on Rav Chaim. And then, of course, you'll have to ask what was he thinking, etc. But I'll leave that to you on your own because we're just going to be Kitzer Nimrutz. What's unique about all these cases, perhaps? What's unique about all these cases is that there's proof in court of law that she owns the Eved. But the Eidei Chasima are not the ones who prove it. Right? After 3 years, she owns the Eved. Why? Not because the Eide Chasima, if the Eide Chasima proved it, they would prove it right away. Rather, because if no one said anything for 3 years, then that's a proof that she owns the Eved Kashtika Koda. At least that's a big Chakira, that's one possibility. If the Baal is Moda, then she owns the Eved. But not because the Eide Chasima proved she owns the Eved, because Hoda's Baal, because the Baal was Moda, then she owns the Eved. So what's the objection to the Poskim all say it's Megareshes. They all equate 1, 2, and 3. What's the objection? The objection to 2 and 3, if I can just speak generally, is Anachanami, she wins in court of law. Anachanami, the Eved belongs to her. You're right, the Eved belongs to her. But there's no proof there was a Mesira because the Eide Chasima don't prove there was a Mesira. The 3 years prove there was a Mesira, or the husband admits there was a Mesira. But then if you don't have Eidos on the Mesira, it's Gerushim without Eidim. And Gerushim that Adam is no good. So the objection to the Poskim on number 2 and 3, the Poskim say, basically, if you look at the Poskim, there's a pattern. Whenever she wins in court, she's divorced. And then people argue and ask, why should she be divorced just as she wins in court? She's only divorced if there's Adam who saw the Mesira. And there's only Adam who saw the Mesira if the Adi Chasima proved there was a Mesira. And over here, there's something strange that proves there's a Mesira. How do we defend the Poskim? Bekitzer Nimrutz, there are two ways to defend the Poskim. One way is technically. You have to get into nitty-gritty of Bava Basra. And to defend the Poskim in number 2, you have to say no. Really, that really Muchzotos proves that it was yours. You only need 3 years to take away the countertain of Achli Shtarich. And number 3, the Rav says a big Kiddush, you have to say, really, Tfisas Godros does prove that it's yours. It's only if the Marakama denies it that it takes away the proof. Okay, what I want to say is, I'll leave all those technicalities to you. It's obvious to you all what I want to say. What I want to say is this all fits perfectly according to my mahalach. My mahalach is that where's the proof there was a Mesira? Where's the Eidos there's a Mesira and proof there's a Mesira? The shtar is made on itself with its kosher. Just as a prerequisite for the shtar being made on itself, you need tfisas follow shtar. When do you have tefisas baal shtar? Whenever you would win in dinei mamonos, now you have tefisas baal shtar. I don't care if you win in dinei mamonos because you're holding it proves you win. I don't care if you win in dinei mamonos just because no one else has any claims. I don't care if you win in dinei mamonos because of 3 years. I don't care if you win in dinei mamonos because the other guy is moda that you win. Lemaisa, all these three cases they have in common is that you win in dinei, the woman wins in dinei mamonos. Once the woman wins in dinei mamonos, who cares whether her tfisa, whether who muchzakas proves there was a nesina. All she needs is to win in dinei mamonos, then she becomes tfisas bala shtar, becomes the magic of shtaros, the chiddush of shtaros. Once it's a chiddush of shtaros, the shtar is made on itself, there's a mesira, and now there's a mesira proven by two edim. Which two edim? The edim signed on the shtar. Why did they prove there was a mesira? Because midin shtaros, every shtar is made on its own kashrus. So I think all the poskim worked very, very well, and that's their other ways. Worked very well according to my mahalach. Okay, there's certainly a lot of idach pirusha zil gemor in terms of this sugya and this Rambam, but we'll leave it for now and we'll pick up Amir Tzashem next month with the bottom daf chafam beis, other very, very fascinating important sugyas. And I will meanwhile give a big yashar koach to everyone for pulling through, especially at the end of this technologically and existentially trying Zman, and shkoyach to everyone who stuck with it on the kept up the starim and on the Zoom shiurim, etc. And I hope life will return to normal very soon. And I'll wish everyone a chag kosher v'sameach and benisin nigalu benisin asidin ligoyel. And we should all, you know, I'm sure many of us here have all kinds of things that we're worried about now, you know, whether in one realm or the other, due to the current matzav or due to whatever matzav is part of life, so that Hashem should hear all of our tefilos, then we should hear Yeshuos v'nechamos for us and for all of Klal Yisrael, b'mheir v'yameinu, amen.
Amen. Chag Sameach.
Thank you.
Chag Sameach.
Torah Tovot.